This morning I want to preach to you a message that is not something I would typically preach in a revival meeting. It's a message, though, that I feel like you need for right now and you'll need in the future. Now, before I announce my title, I want to say this. This message, the intent of it, is not to enable poor leadership. Somebody will hear this message and say, oh, well, you're just making excuses for poor leadership. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to help prepare you for a reality of life. And so hear me out before you judge me. But the title of my message this morning is What to Do When Authority is Wrong. What to do when authority is wrong. Now, there are some that will hear me at the beginning of this message without giving me the benefit of the doubt that will say, well, all you're doing is you're paving a way to enable abusers. That's not what I'm doing. And I detest that accusation. I feel like there's an extreme that runs in our society today, and I think it's unhealthy. Just as unhealthy as it is for somebody to be an abuser and a manipulator, listen, it is unhealthy to have an unforgiving spirit, and it's unhealthy to be ungodly. And this morning, the thing that I thrill is I can take a story that is thousands of years old, listen to me, and tell you how to handle a situation in your life right now. Isn't this a wonderful book? You know, when I was a kid, I dreamed of being an authority. At that point in your life, everybody's telling you what to do. They're telling you what to eat. They're telling you what to wear. Did any of your mothers buy you clothes that you didn't want to wear? I often wonder about Samuel when his mother brought him a coat every year. If the same thing happened to him that happened to me, it's like, oh, why did you buy that? Or why did you make that? I didn't like that. Appointments, school, you name it. Listen, there was a time in my life that everything was laid out in front of me, and authority at an early age telling me what to do. You know, whatever's going on in your life at that time, everybody's making decisions. But it's interesting, the older you get, the more independent you seem to become. And that growth for independence, it grows. But I want to let you know something that it may burst your bubble, but listen to me, no matter how old you are, you're always under someone's authority. You know, now that you've reached this level of independence in your life, some of you dorm students think, independence, I still have to sign in and out, fill out an off-campus dating pass. But you know, it's easy for you to forget that right now in your life, listen, as you sit in the pew, you have authorities. You have a mom, you have a dad. How about a state trooper? How about the President of the United States? By the way, this is just an aside. I had to bite my lip for 8 years because there were a lot of things that I didn't agree with, but I still wouldn't say he's not my president. Now, I can't speak to the world, but I can tell you that should never be espoused in the life of a Christian based on what I see in the Bible. No matter how you feel, no matter how much you disagree, I marvel. You know, when you read the New Testament and you read people under Nero, and it's interesting, you don't see a lot of what you see sometimes among people today. And we'd say, if anybody, hey, when's the last time you've been pitched with tar and burned in a Colosseum? I mean, this is the kind of persecution Christians are bearing. But your RA is an authority. Your husband. And the list goes on and on. You know, when you've got that much authority in your life, you know what? Somebody's bound to wrong you, or you're going to be mistreated. Now, I want to ask you a question. It shows your humanity today, but answer it in your mind. Have you ever been mistreated by authority? Now, I'm not asking you, have you ever disagreed with authority? Because I already know the answer to that. All of you have. Your mom says, I want you up at 9 o'clock. You say, no, I want to get up at 10. Your mom says, clean your room. And you say, I don't want to clean my room. Listen, everybody in this room, you've disagreed with authority. And by the way, that's part of submission. Submission's easy till you disagree. But I'm talking about, have you ever been mistreated? Have you ever been embarrassed? Have you ever been harmed by people in authority? I'm going to tell you something. You live any amount of time, you're going to experience that. But can I tell you something? How you react to those in authority who have mistreated you may reveal just as much about your character as it does theirs. And I want to take you back to a story that is recorded in inspired fashion. In other words, God gave us this story. So before you get upset and say, this is the way, I don't feel that way. Listen, you tell God that. Because God records this story of Saul and David. Now I'm going to tell you, if anybody had ever been mistreated by authority, listen to me, it was David. David becomes good buddies with a young man named Jonathan. Jonathan and David, they're inseparable, but boy, jealousy begins to breed in the heart of Saul, and Saul is using that young man for javelin practice before it's over with. You ever had an authority throw a spear at you? He was chased relentlessly. We're going to read about an instance where he was in En-Gedi. But I mean, Saul, the king of Israel, he exhausted all kinds of resources to see the death of David. I'm just here to say, I don't think any of us has ever experienced an injustice like what David experienced. But I'm going to tell you something. David responded in a way that is foreign to many Christians today. Now again, if you're here and you say, this message is just going to enable poor leadership, listen to me. When I get to the end of the message, you're going to learn something about that I hope will help you. But let's begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, and there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seemed good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto the men, the Lord forbid that I should do anything unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And so David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king! And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eyes spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for it in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. And as saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept, and he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. That's quite the story, isn't it? Young people, you're not going to be able to exercise godly authority until you're first willing to submit to authority in a godly fashion. And there will be times in your life that human authority hurts you. This authority that David experienced from Saul, it was a willful hurt. This is a guy, he's not just doing the wrong things, he's got the wrong intentions. He has jealousy burning in his heart, and he is willing to do anything at all costs to take the life of David, to gather 3,000 men, and to take this man's life. And whether you're experiencing it now or whether you're going to experience it in the future, listen to me, you choose to follow the example of David than the advice of the world, or it will destroy you. So what do you do when authority is wrong? These five things that I give you are not necessarily in the order of importance. I think they're all important though. Number one is remove yourself from harm. You say, where do you get that? Well, verse number one, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Why was David in the wilderness of En-Gedi and Saul is chasing after him? It's because Saul wanted to kill David and David fled. He removed himself from physical harm. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now let me tell you something. You're going to find, young people, when you're dealing with people in the future, there's going to be some awful situations where there are people in situations where they are subjected to great physical or even mental harm. I'm not here to draw all those lines, but I am here to tell you that if God allowed David to escape King Saul and be in God's will, I'll assure you, if somebody in our day and time is in a situation of physical harm and they remove themselves from that harm, it's still possible for them to be respectful. And I think if David did it, they can too. You see, that's a chapter of ministry you're not going to experience probably for a while, but it will come. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to figure out not just, well, what does everybody else say, but you'll be surprised that sometimes the Bible gives you specific direction and you're like, well, that happened there, so that's good counsel. I can count on it and take it to the bank and do it here. But the first thing that David did was that he removed himself from harm. He did that when Saul first started attacking him. And I mention that because I'm not here to tell you, listen, if somebody is in an abusive situation, there comes a point, there comes a time, and again, I'm not here to draw all of the lines, but I think it is a safe and a wise thing when that person removes themselves from that situation because of their own physical well-being. But I don't want to belabor that point. Number two is respect the position of authority. Respect the position of authority. Again, I don't think anybody in this room's ever experienced the injustice that David experienced at the hands of Saul. And do you know that in the midst of this, you find David constantly respecting the position of authority? Now, here's where some people would object and say, listen, this is Old Testament. This is not in our dispensation. We don't have a king of Israel today. I'd look at you and say, you're exactly right. There is no king of Israel today in our eyes. I understand that, you know, it's a different dispensation. But I am not fool enough to believe that Bible principles in the Old Testament should just stay in the Old Testament. It bothers me when somebody says, well, that's not speaking directly about America and the New Testament church. We can't learn from that. That's such a dangerous thinking. You can say this, the king of Israel was the authority in the land. And God has given us authority today. And young people, if you live your life constantly disrespecting authority, listen to me, you're not going to know God's blessing. Now again, after all that David had done to him, listen to what David says in verse number 6. He says, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing and do my master, the Lord's anointed. Notice in verse number 8, the Bible says that he went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David balled up his fist and cursed him. If your Bible says that, you need to see Mrs. Christensen after chapel. You know, in spite of all of that, you know what David did? He respected his position. You say that doesn't make sense. Not in our flesh, it doesn't. The problem is we make the choice to live by our flesh rather than by the Word of God. You get around people and they just want to raise their... I'm not saying that you weren't hurt. I'm not saying that what they did was right. I'm just saying that when I respond in such a way and I don't respect their position, I'm not following David's example. What do you do when you're humiliated by authority? That's the time to start a rebellion. I'm just here to tell you, if anybody had a right to start a rebellion, it would have been David. You have to respect the position of authority. Your dad's not perfect. Do you know that? I'm not perfect. Do you know that? I know that. I'm very keenly aware of that. And neither are you. And one day you're going to be in a position of authority and you'll react in a way in which you publicly embarrass somebody, a way in which it causes injury to somebody. And you know what? Instead of presuming and say, well, I'm just the authority, I can do whatever I want. Listen, you live that way, God will deal with that. But I'm telling you, you'll want to have some people extend a little grace to you. If you're a student and you say, well, I feel like I've been mistreated. It very well may be in some context, whether it's your church, whether it's here at the college, but I'm telling you, the devil destroys people by taking imperfect people and combining it with imperfect reactions and destroying the whole bunch. David respected the position of authority. You know, I'll be honest, young people, I have seen some Christian teenagers have less respect for their Christian parents than I had for my dad, who was a drunkard. And that's a shame. I'm telling you, there are some of you in this room, man, you think you've been raised in a torture chamber all of your life because your parents just tried to obey biblical principle and you've become so disrespectful to them. And listen to me, I know of kids in public school with lost parents that respect their parents more than some in Bible college. You got to respect the position. You say, well, I don't respect the person. Listen, I don't think David was saying, hey, if I had a vote, I'd vote Saul, the king of Israel. I don't think he was on the bandwagon. But I think David acknowledged at that point in his time, you know who made God, you know who made Saul the king of Israel? It wasn't David. It was God. You have to respect the position. I know this isn't popular, but listen, I believe it's Bible. Again, for those of you that think you're just facilitating abusers, wait, I'm not done. Number one, remove yourself from harm. Number two, respect the position of authority. Number three, reject how you feel. You know, we start talking about the realm of feelings. It's not that your feelings aren't important. I don't care how you feel. That's not necessarily it. But I'm just saying, how you feel is not always right. That's all I'm saying. David and his buddies, listen to me. Can you imagine this? David and his buddies are in this cave. And in of all people walks the king of Israel who wants to kill you. Can you imagine that scene? You remember when you were a kid and you were playing hide and go seek? And you're hiding in this obscure place and somebody walks in and they just walk in and they're looking and you just stop breathing. You don't move. And you're like, how can they not see me? And then they go and walk out. You remember how your heart felt? I do. You say, I never played hide and go seek. My mother never let me play. Well, you lived a boring childhood. I truly pity you. Maybe you watched paint dry. I'm not sure what your recreation was at home. But you remember those days? Imagine with me, you're David. This man is hunting your life, and he walks into the very cave where you're hiding. Now, the Bible says that Saul went in to cover his feet. Saul was desiring some privacy. Most Bible scholars tell you that he was in there to relieve himself, to use the restroom. And all of a sudden, the guys come over to David and they say, "Psst, hey, this is it. You remember? God's going to deliver him right into your hand. This, oh, of all moments, would this not be the most embarrassing? Just kill him now." David reaches up, takes out his Gerber pocket knife, cuts off part of his skirt, part of his clothing. You know, after he did that, he said unto his men, he said, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." You know, David was at a threshold right there. Had he done, I mean, the people said, "Hey, this is the time. Strike. And you know what? Sometimes you discover an injustice comes along in your life and your friends get around you and they're well-meaning. And they say, maybe this is your moment just to lash out. You know what you better do? You better make sure that the voice of God is louder than the voice of your friends. Don't do what you feel. There's times I've wanted to kill my children. You say, kill them? Well, yeah, just, you know, let them know that I didn't like that. You ever done that with your roommates? Never, never, never. Being greeted with a loud voice at 5 a.m. in the morning. I know you're spiritual. You just say, boy, that's heavenly singing. You're making a joyful noise. Just keep it up. By the way, those of you who are early risers, you ought to be considerate, all right? Especially those of you who are off pitch. But you get up in the morning, you don't always feel a certain way. You know, when injustice comes, listen, when I'm mistreated, you know what happens, young people? I'm telling you, there's something inside of me, it does not feel good, and it makes me, I want to do things that are not right. But you've got to reject your feelings. If I could say it this way, you've got to filter them. You've got to filter them through the Bible. You know, you may be here and, man, you've got a real problem with anger. Listen to me. If you've got a real problem with anger, the Bible says that you're just like a city that has no walls. You can be conquered by anything. All they have to do is make you mad. They don't have to shoot you. They don't have to call your mother a name. All they've got to do is just somehow get you riled up. And the next thing you know, you just fall to pieces. What should you do when authority is wrong? Listen, reject the feelings. that say, I'm going to lash out and I'm going to get vengeance? What should you do when authority is wrong? Number four, you ought to respond righteously. How do you respond righteously? Verse 9, David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt? He said, Saul, have you heard these people say that I desire to hurt you? Well, let this be a living example. I don't desire to hurt you. In verse 11, notice this tender entreaty. He says, moreover, my father. Sometimes you can win people with sugar instead of vinegar. You get in the midst of something with somebody that's an authority and you just start calling them all kinds of names. But you know what David said? He said, moreover, my father, see yea the skirt of thy robe in mine hand. He says, I've not sinned against you, but yet you want to hurt me. You know why Saul was able to talk to him like that, or David was able to talk to him like that? Because David was not controlled by his own vengeance. You know, in essence, what David is saying is a great rebuke to Saul. But it's not with the mentality of, well, you wronged me and I'm going to set you straight. It's actually one of humility when he comes to Saul and he calls him my father and he says, listen, you desire to hurt me, but I don't desire to hurt you. In verse 17, Saul tells the story and he said to David, thou art more righteous than I. Sometimes you think, I'll tell you how I'm going to get the upper hand. I'm going to one-up them. Hey, let me tell you how you win in that kind of a situation. Here, it's free of charge. Be godly. That's how you win. You say, well, I'm not king of the mountain. If I don't just rear up and go after it, why, nobody's going to see me as the winner. Listen to me. Are you more interested about your appearance before men, or are you more interested about your appearance before God? React in a righteous way. When you take them apart all the time around other people, that's not righteous, that's ungodly. Respond in a righteous fashion. But the last thing I tell you is this, remember a couple of things. Remember a couple of things. Remember, number one, that God is the judge. Verse 12, David said, the Lord judge between me and thee. Verse 15, the Lord therefore be judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause and deliver me out of thine hand. I want to ask you a question. Do you really believe God's the judge? Now, I want to say a word of admonition to every leader in this room. And by the way, that's not just faculty and staff. If you're functioning in some capacity of local church ministry as a leader, let me tell you something. God takes no pleasure in people who are manipulators and people who humiliate people and leaders who are unrighteous. God takes no pleasure in that. There are times in my life where I've seen things happen and I wonder why things didn't happen when I thought they should have happened, but the longer I live, the more I realize God is judge. And by the way, God does a lot better job judging than you do. Not only does he see it more clearly, but when God pronounces the judgment, listen to me, your judgment pales in comparison to God's. If you're in a situation, you feel like you've been mistreated, you feel like that authority has done something to injure you, you know, David could pillow his head saying, the Lord judge between me and thee. The Lord knows. You know, we walk off sometimes saying the Lord knows, but not really believing it. You know, a person who says the Lord knows and the Lord will judge, you know what? He's not going to be eaten up with bitterness and gall. And again, it's not always that God judges in the time and the way in which I want. But God is the judge. So if there's an authority in this room, listen, you find yourself, you've mistreated people, whatever the case, maybe you're serving in local church ministry and you've just been full of pride. I'm here to tell you, listen, God will get your attention, and when He does, you'll know it. And God did bring about judgment to Saul. Saul eventually died. Number one, remember God is the judge. Number two, remember the good. As we close, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter number 1. Did you know there are funerals in the Bible? Now, you don't hear organ music. You don't see funeral homes. You don't read about funeral home directors in black suits standing there at the door just nodding as everybody comes in. But every once in a while, you catch a glimpse of a eulogy. And so now we find we're standing at the casket of Saul. The truth is his body's been desecrated by the enemy. But here we are, we're at a memorial service. And maybe the funeral home director looks across those in attendance and he says, "All right, we need somebody to say a good word about King Saul," and his eyes fasten on David. And say, "Hey, you, why don't you do it?" Boy, could you imagine, had we been in that crowd, we'd have said, if anybody needs to be up there, it's not David. David stands behind the podium, and David lamented in verse 17 with this lamentation over Saul. Just the fact that David lamented, that says something. David didn't say, "He got it, what he deserved." You know what he did? He lamented. Now the world says, "David, you're stupid." But I believe God looked down and said, "David, you're godly." In verse number 19, "The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How the mighty are fallen." Boy, that's a nice introductory statement for a man that tried to kill you. Beauty? If Saul is beauty, I'd hate to see what ugly is. That's what some people would say. What is wrong with this man? Verse 20, he says, "Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph." Listen to me. Do you know where some of the greatest rejoicing among Philistines takes place today? It takes place at the hands of carnal, embittered Christians that could care less about what the world thinks. Social media, the gossip chain can tell. I mean, just airing everybody's laundry. We don't care about what the Philistines think. All we want is our own self-vindication. All I'm saying is this: that spirit is contrary to the example of David. You can't dispute it. David said, "Nobody say anything about this. We don't want the enemy knowing about this." Verse 31, "Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, let there be no rain upon you, nor the fields of offering, for there is a shield, the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil." He said, "Listen, don't let there be any dew. There's no rejoicing." You know what I found? I found this: when somebody hurts me and there is rejoicing in my heart at something ill that happens to them, listen to me, I have ill in my own heart. Verse Verse 23, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. Go ahead, just say he's nuts. He's demented. No, I'm going to tell you what, in spite of that, he was able to remember some good. You know, I talked to some people, you thought they were raised in a prison camp. And the more I looked at the story, the more I realized, you know, the problem wasn't necessarily with how they were raised. It was their attitude along the way. And I'm telling you, there are people that are living in bondage right now. They're living in bondage to people by their own choice because they've refused to deal with what happens when authority does them wrong in a godly fashion. I wish that I could make you a promise that as the president of this school that I would never injure you. And I assure you, I never want to. That's not my intention. I'm just saying, though, as imperfect people and imperfect authority, when that injury happens, we've got to decide how we're going to respond to it. I could tell you about two of my friends that experienced a very similar circumstance in which both of them were hurt by, of all people, a pastor. A pastor in which they had a very intimate relationship with, but in each of these situations, slightly different circumstances, but nonetheless, same scenario, in which hurt was incurred during that time, and how they dealt with that hurt charted out the future of their ministry. And for those two young men, you know what? Now they're a shadow of what I believe God wanted them to be. You know how it happened? It happened because they mishandled how authority wronged them. They came away with the wrong response. But do you know I've also seen the flip side of that? I could tell you about how somebody I know, they were so deeply wounded by somebody that they had held in high esteem. And did they wrestle? Yes, they wrestled. Did they have their moments? Yes, they had their moments sorting out on it. But let me tell you what, that young man pillows his head tonight. And you know what? If you mentioned that individual's name, a smile would break across his face. And he would say, you know what? God used that man in my life. And he's serving God hand over fist. You know what makes the difference? How you respond to authority when you're wrong. It's not my business to know who's wronged you and what they did, or even how you responded. But it is my business to say, one day if you're going to exercise godly authority, you better learn how to respond to it now. May God help us to be like David and respond the way that he did. Let's bow our heads together. In a moment, Brother Scoville is going to lead us in, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer." But as we close this morning, before we sing that song, I want to ask you this question. How many of you in this room would say, "Brother Beal, as I've heard the message today, and maybe even in recent days, recent months, you say, you know, I've had to deal with some things, a way in which authority has dealt with me, and they've been less than perfect, and God has shown me this morning that I have been too." And you'd say, "Brother Beal, whether it's an issue that's just happened recently or maybe it's been something that's been in the past, this morning, God's helped me to see the example of David. And I do. I want to respond in a godly fashion. And God's shown me the steps that I need to take this morning." And you'd say, "Brother Beal, would you pray for me that I'll respond in a godly fashion, and that I'll be able to overcome this. If David could, I can too. And God's taught me something this morning. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Thank you, several here. My purpose in preaching this message is not to enable people that are manipulators and abusers and fools, but it is to help salvage some that experience some bad things, and that in your leadership you won't make the same mistake. Our Father, as we come to this invitation time, I pray, Lord, that we would have a tenderness of heart, a humility. Lord, I thank you for dealing with me sometimes in a very forcible fashion. And Lord, bringing me to the point of humbling myself when I've had to deal with this very same issue. God, I pray for those that are here that are dealing, struggling, whatever that specific issue is, Lord, I pray that when they leave this place today, that they'd be much closer to remembering that, God, you are the judge. Lord, that they would remember the good that has taken place, and they'd respond in a godly fashion. Help us, Lord, to do what's right, no matter how we feel. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's